morning and welcome to Alcoholics Anonymous, AA meeting on air. My name is Steve and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi Steve.
We'll start our meeting with the Serenity Prayer.
God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
The preamble of Alcoholics Anonymous. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any set, denomination, politics, organisation, or institution. Does not engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. This morning we'll be hearing from three speakers from the Papatoa Group, which is Young in Sobriety. And the Papatoa Young in Sobriety Group meets every Wednesday night at 7:30 p.m. And you can find them at the St. John's Church in Hunter's Corner in Papatoa. So thanks, guys, for coming in to share your experience, strength and hope with us this morning. And we'll start the sharing with Dave. Do you want to share?
Yes. Morning. My name's Dave and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Dave.
And I was never, ever a secretive drunk. Everybody knew that I was a drunk. I never tried to hide it. In fact, I didn't particularly care that anybody knew that I was a drunk. I behaved very badly, and it was always out in the open. I knew, for instance, that the story of my drinking is a matter of public record. The story of my drinking is written in police stations, it's written in courthouses, it's written in hospitals, institutions, all the places where I ended up as a consequence of my drinking. I didn't think I had a problem with my drinking, but when the consequences became too great, when I absolutely couldn't go back to jail anymore. When when my health failed to the extent that any more overdoses or stuff like that would mean the end of my life, I knew I had to stop and do something. But what was I didn't know. I tried everything. I've been to counselling sessions, psychologists, and I've done all those things, but they never, ever got me sober. I've been to recovery centres and spent months and months doing all that stuff. And as soon as I couldn't wait to get out of there so I could drink again. And drink I did. The only thing that has stopped me from drinking and has kept me stayed stopped is Alcoholics Anonymous. I had to learn how to do everything right back from the beginning. When I came into Alcoholics Anonymous, I was just doing it to keep people off my back, my wife, my boss, and everybody else who dared to criticise me. But I don't know what it was this time. This time I must have been open and willing, and somehow I managed to get sober, and I've managed to stay sober. I'd been to AA meetings in the past, but nothing had... I don't know. There was... I was closed. I think my mind was closed to the program, and when it was time, it happened for me. And all of a sudden I was interested and I could make commitments, and I wanted to do the program, and I wanted to be well. And before then I couldn't care less whether I was well or not. But at that particular time I wanted to get well, and I became willing, and I became a willing student. And I sat down and listened, and people taught me how to be a sober person. But just sobriety for me hasn't just been about stopping drinking. I had a very bad attitude. I had a mindset that revolved around drinking. My whole life revolved around drinking. All my friends were drinkers. And the people in AA gave me little snippets of how I should go about my sobriety. For instance, they told me never to go back to the old playgrounds, because you'll end up playing the same old games. And I had to give up all my old friends, all my old haunts. And gradually I have been able to get sober. And then I had to, I found that I had to change my mindset. When I first came in, I got a sponsor, and he told me that the program that I was about to undertake was a program of change. And I asked him, well, just what will I have to change? He says, absolutely everything. And I found that to be true. I don't even recognize me as opposed to the old me. The new me is operates in a completely different manner. I was a very dishonest, cheating person when I was drinking. And that was by necessity, because people used to say to me, they said, you know, they say to me, oh, Dave, you drink far too much. And I says, I know that. I can't afford it. And the only way I was able to afford it was by stealing, cheating, lying. And that went on for a long time. And one of the first lessons in Alcoholics Anonymous is you have to learn to be honest. Not only, and that honesty, it's not an outward honesty, it's an inward one, because the first person I had to learn to be honest with was me. I had to be able to tell myself the truth, accept that truth, and take responsibility for everything that I had done. And that was a really big thing for me. It took a long time, and but I was able to do that and move on through the program, through the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, to find a decent sort of a sobriety. I love my life today. I found that in my old life, it was very complicated. Everything was complicated. And because everything was complicated, my problems were complicated. Today, we have a maximum in Alcoholics Anonymous is to keep it simple. I keep my life simple so that my mistakes are simple. And if my mistakes are simple, I can do the amends are very simple, and I don't have those complicated things. While ever I was drinking, I was running around trying to fix problems that never ever got solved, because while I was trying to fix one problem, I was creating another. Drama was everywhere in my life, and I lived in it. Today, I run from it. If I feel anything building up that's going to cause drama in my life, I will turn around and walk away very smartly. I don't need that kind of thing in my life anymore. Alcoholics Anonymous has taught me so many things that they've given the 12 steps have given me things that I must have missed somewhere along the line, the tools to be able to live life on life's terms. Life was always hard for me right from the very start. My earliest childhood memories have always been that life was just not fair. I carried that throughout my life, and I was such a self-piteous person, and I have been able to overcome that in sobriety. I'm not perfect. I sometimes start feeling like that, but I think today I have a better life. I get on with people a hell of a lot more. I'm more tolerant today than I ever was. In my drinking days, I could become very violent. Today I wouldn't think of laying a hand on another person or even yelling or screaming at them the way that I did as a drinking person. Alcoholics Anonymous is giving me the tools to live life on life's terms, and I'm pleased to be a part of it and pleased to be here as a part of this group. Thank you.
Thanks, Dave. You're with Alcoholics Anonymous on 104.6 Planet FM, and today's speakers are from the Young in Sobriety Pepper Toe Group. Linda, do you want to share?
Yeah, hi, I'm Linda and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi
Linda.
I suppose from the beginning it might not have made much difference, but I, as a child, I did always feel uncomfortable, sort of in myself. I didn't feel part of things. I didn't make friends easily. I just felt uncomfortable in myself. So then, really, as I grew up, I distinctly remember thinking, you know, I really just wanted to be happy. I didn't have great goals in life, but I really wanted to. I almost felt jealous of those people that just found life really easy and other people seemed to have it all together. And I just felt really uncomfortable, especially around people, actually. So as I grew up, I can remember, well, you know, I grew up and Dad was, he drank a lot, but that didn't seem to be a problem. It seemed the normal thing to do. I grew up and, you know, most of the adults around me were drinking. And I actually looked forward to that idea. I thought, when I get older, I'm going to get into that and enjoy myself. Actually, around 15, I started getting into drinking and a bit of drugs, and I really, really enjoyed it. I felt like, I distinctly remember feeling like I got confidence from drinking. I felt great. I felt like I looked better. And I just actually felt like I fitted in. So from then, I really couldn't wait to leave home, because when I was at home, I couldn't just get stuck into drinking a lot. So when I left home, I just thought, yay, this is it. I'm going to party, you know, I'm going to have a really good time. And that was my goal. And I did. I drank a lot. I smoked a bit of dope and thought, you know, this is it. This is life. This is really what I want, you know. I feel like I've got friends. I have a bit of a purpose. And it was really just looking forward to the drinking and getting out of it, because I just felt so good when I did it. But it didn't take long, actually, early 20s, when when I started to drink, I didn't slow down. I actually sped up. And, you know, although I actually hung out with a lot of friends that drank like me and actually drank more than me, so it sort of made me feel a bit virtuous, like I wasn't that bad, really. But when I went out, I actually had a few drinks before I went out to make me feel comfortable enough to mix with people because I did find it hard to socialise. And that would be the beginning. And I sort of realised, though, that I couldn't... I'd be a bit embarrassed because I'd want to drink fast and I'd be sort of sitting with people trying to be polite and sip it and sip it and faster and faster. And it just... I started having blackouts and I didn't really know what they were because initially I'd, you know, I'd start off and I'd go out and I'd have a good night and then the next day I'd think, gee, I can't remember a lot of that. Maybe I just, you know, fell asleep, you know, maybe I wasn't awake for a while. And then after a while I realised I didn't go to sleep and people started telling me what I did. And I sort of put on a bit of a facade and laughed it off, thinking, oh, you know, it must have meant I had a really good time. But underneath it all, I was actually getting quite scared because I realised I was in blackout. I was unconscious. I was totally unaware of what I was doing. And I was slowly getting to do more embarrassing things. You know, I'd sort of subtly sort of wake up the next morning and look around and think, where am I? Okay, you know, I've really got it all together, but I'd have to go outside before I figured out where I was, you know, and, you know, just sort of try and look like it was all together and walk home. And then through my 20s, you know, something's happened and I wasn't very happy with life and I still didn't seem to be getting on with people, although I started to mix more with people like me. And they did have a few drinking problems, but it didn't seem to slow them down. So we just went out, we kept sort of drinking and that. But I was getting confused because things weren't going well. And I just... seemed to make more and more bad decisions, and it was because I was really making them when I was drunk or, so I made some really bad decisions and ended up in bad places. Didn't really know what was going on, and I was actually getting a bit scared because in the morning I'd actually start getting a bit more paranoid and a bit more nervous about things. But then during the day, I'd sort of come right and think, okay, right, you know, I'm going to go and go out and have a really good time again. And I went out and it started to be, though, that I actually needed to drink. In a way, in the mornings, I started feeling worse. And more paranoid and wondering what had happened, what had really happened. And I remember even going to work and just sort of casually looking at people and seeing how they looked at me. You know? Was I really that embarrassing again, you know? And all through my 20s, I actually quickly moved through jobs, I moved through flats and I moved through friends. I didn't really know why, but I kind of knew something was wrong. I didn't put it down to drinking because I didn't know how I'd cope with life without drinking, to be honest. But really, I dropped out of university and just got right into drinking. And then some bad things happened, but I thought, oh, well, that's sort of life. But at late 20s, I had my son, and for some reason... Well, it was because I grew up with drinking and I really thought that was normal. So I thought as a parent, I wasn't going to be a drinker. Well, that became a bit of a problem. It was very difficult to stop. And actually, like it says in the big book, I mean, our big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, there's some stories and it talks about how some people can stop for a while. And I really did stop for a while, but my God, I wasn't a very nice person to live with. Sort of called white knuckling it. I would get through the day. I wouldn't drink, but I couldn't really even mix with people very well. I was very angry. And a lot of my anger came out and they sort of recommended anger management and all sorts of things. But as soon as I had a drink, I'd sort of feel fine for a while. And that was actually my struggle because I really didn't want to drink as a parent, and I struggled through that. It was funny in a way. I was actually talking to a friend's partner and we started reminiscing about the good old drinking days. And he kind of realised, and we both realised, that our drinking was quite similar and it got quite out of control. And then he mentioned that he was going to AA. I sort of thought, oh, no, I don't think I've really got a drinking problem because, you know, I have long periods of time when I don't drink. But for some reason, I went along. I think it was just life was horrible, basically. I was not drinking, but, boy, I was not happy when I wasn't. And so I went to AA, and it was actually like a relief. I actually cried a lot on the first time I went because I just related to other people's drinking. And I realised, even though I was quite a binge drinker, I actually was an alcoholic because when I drank, I felt more normal. I felt more like me, and I really couldn't cope with life without drinking, and I couldn't stop drinking. So coming into AA has really changed my life slowly because I've actually had to face up to life. I've had to try and stay in the same job. And with the support of the meetings, going through doing the steps, which have helped me really realistically look at myself, which I never did before, get rid of some of the emotional baggage, and a lot more, actually. I could go on and on about AA, but it's really, really... It's kept me alive, to be honest, because if I kept drinking, I would have slowly or fastly disintegrated into madness or ended up in jail or dead. But I'm not, and it's really thanks to AA. So thanks for asking me to share.
Thanks, Linda.
Thanks,
you're with Alcoholics Anonymous on 104.6 Planet FM, and speakers this morning are from the Young in Sobriety Papatoa Group. And our last speaker, Vijay, you would like to share.
Yes, good morning. My name is Vijay and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Vijay.
Hi, I'm a grateful alcoholic this morning. With the grace of God, I've been sober. My journey is probably not any different to most of, you know, us out there. I started off like any normal person. And I went to university and then the social life was a few beers. And as I got older, this intensified. And as I grew older, started a family, and pressures of life made it got worse. And then there was a time where I didn't even realize that I crossed this fine line from being a social drinker to an alcoholic, to a fully fledged alcoholic. The recreation drinking started on the weekends. There was Saturday and Sunday. It progressed Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and thereafter it was a daily ritual. It was work, and then come back home. And the first thing I reached for was a drink, and that led on to a few more. And then my realization was that I was calming myself down. And then slowly I seen my family just disappear. The kids would run up to their rooms and the missus would shut herself in work. But to me that seemed normal. The powerfulness of this disease, it's cunning, baffling and powerful. Little realizing that I was deep into alcoholism and I was a sick person. And like everything else, soon disappeared. I lost the house, I lost the car, I lost the boat, and I lost my family. So I was reduced in a few years. I was reduced to basically, you know, nothing. I had nothing to live for, and the only thing that I found solace in was alcohol, and that took really deep into me. And it was a daily ritual of waking up in the morning, and the first thing that I reached for was, you know, was a drink. That was the only thing that made me face the world. Eventually, I lived a life of a hermit, and I had to go to work just to earn enough to sustain my addiction. And until one day that I so happened to stumble upon a policeman who was manning a checkpoint, and I was arrested. And it was this was a sign from my higher power, which I've acknowledged today, was to get me out of that. Because another week or so, I would have died. I would have poisoned myself sufficiently. I would have been dead. And it was then that I've now realized that God had a special purpose for putting that police officer there on my path. It was then that I was summoned to court, and from there I was committed to the Salvation Army and Manukau Bridge program, which I attended. And it was 8 solid weeks that I attended, and where I detoxified at Pittman House and started to begin my journey as a sober person. I believe today that my higher power was looking after me, and it wasn't my time, to go up to meet my maker. So, coming into the bridge program, I had to be rehabilitated on basic stuff like my personal hygiene and counting my pennies and starting to be self-sufficient. And this was a totally, enlightening experience for me. It's a new lease of life had been given to me by my higher power, and an incredible journey of had started. And I've just realized, joining the fellowship or coming to the fellowship, that God is doing for me what I couldn't do for myself. And doing the program and doing the steps and being in the rooms of AA, I've just realized that I've found a new happiness and a new freedom. A new happiness that I never knew existed. I mean, I'm free from alcohol on the daily reprieve. The program is one day at a time. You know, if it becomes too difficult for me, I just take an hour at a time. And a new happiness has dawned onto me now. And every day that I wake up with the grace of God, I acknowledge and I thank my Lord. It is now thy will, not my will. For my entire existence, my world got me into chaos. But in the morning that I surrender and I ask my Lord to guide me, the little miracles happen in my life. Not only that I have this good space of, in my head, I'm able to have this calmness and this humility. My compassion for fellow human beings has increased. I'm able to tolerate people. I'm able to have less expectations of individuals. And there's a less tendency for me going on to a tangent and having the itty-bitty fertilizer committee coming into my head. So I'm able to have good space. I'm able to enjoy life. I have clearer eyes. I'm able to see and appreciate the beautiful world that the good Lord has created. And most of all, I'm really grateful to have this new lease of life. It is gratitude now and no more attitude. So I'm eternally grateful for my higher power. And it's just one day at a time. And I'm grateful to be sober. Thank you.
Thanks, PJ.
This brings us towards the end of our meeting. And as I said, our speakers this morning have been from the Papatoa Young and Sobriety Group. And the Papatoa Young and Sobriety Group meets every Wednesday at 7:30. And you can find them at the St. John's Church in Hunter's Corner in Papatoa, right here in Auckland. So thanks, guys, for coming in and sharing your experience, strength and hope. Now, if you've listened this morning and you identify with what you've heard and you think you have a problem with alcohol and you want help, you can phone 0800 AA Works, and this will put you in contact with an AA member in your local area. There are over 100 AA meetings each week within the Greater Auckland area. And for more information, log on to aa.org.nz. Well, thank you for listening. We'll be here again next Sunday at 10:45 a.m. on 104.6 Planet FM, and our meeting will have a Pacifica theme. So would you like to help me close the meeting with a serenity prayer? Mm-hmm. God,
grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference.
You can hear this program again at planetaudio.org.nz/AA meeting on air.